go there. It's one of the safer places we serve missionaries in. There's some of the places like jungles of Venezuela. I wouldn't want to go there, but Arcata, Spain is awesome. It's a safe place you can go to. It's really cool because it's not too far from Barcelona with the company I work at near Barcelona, the eyeglass company. And my manager, it's funny, I'll tell you a little story before we get going. So he calls me for different conference calls and that kind of stuff, and individually we've become good friends. He's actually 29, and he's my boss, and I'm 73. That's sort of an interesting scenario there, but he's a really sharp young man. And he's got a sensitivity to the Lord, which is beautiful, because sometimes he's talking and he wants to emphasize a point, and he uses interesting vernacular, right? And then all of a sudden he'll stop. Oh, I'm sorry, Clark, I shouldn't talk that way. I say, hey, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I'm used to it. But he's got a sensitivity to what's appropriate and what isn't. So I'm praying about sending him this video for him to see what's happening down the road from them in Spain. You know, because Spain, as they say, 1% Christian. And who knows how the Lord might use this in Alberto's life. So please pray for Alberto. He's an awesome guy. I love him and I respect him. And I'd love to see him come to know Jesus. And in Spain, beautiful churches everywhere, but they're empty. There's no one there. And so what an opportunity and sort of an interesting connection. Maybe I'm working for this company just for the sake of that particular man. So please keep him in your prayers. Welcome to everybody at Calvary today. Also those who are listening and watching on YouTube. We're going to be in the book of Romans this morning. If you have your Bibles, feel free to turn there. If not, you can just feel free to listen. And let's pray. Father God, we're thankful this morning for who you are. And as Megan prayed, Lord, this our need of you and your presence in our lives. And there's music playing. Where's that coming from? That's my smooth jazz on my phone. I got to turn it off. That's funny. The Lord has a good sense of humor, doesn't he? That's a good one. Da, 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 da. My dad said, always listen to smooth jazz because it gets your mood up, you know? So in my car all the time and work, or I don't want to go to work, I turn on a smooth jazz and I'm all happy, you know? So now I got to find out where it's at and turn it off. Okay, it's off. So I'm thinking that's strange. I'm thinking, do they have something on the screen there? All of a sudden it's me, you know? Anyway, Lord, we're grateful that you smile on us. You love us. We're your kids and we're crazy. But Lord, you put up with us and we're so blessed. And Lord, we pray you would just direct the service today. Bless the people you brought here. Feed us your word and help us, Lord, to be closer to you. And we pray for the Bences. We're grateful that we have a chance to support that family and all that they're doing over there at that camp with all those young people. Lord, may you bring the need and supply the need that they have, send volunteers, all the things that are necessary for this upcoming summer camp. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So we'll take these verses one at a time and break them apart. He says, Paul the Apostle, that I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If you've lived life for any length of time, you understand at some point in your life you experience suffering and difficulty and trials and sometimes this feeling crushed emotionally and overwhelmed mentally and your heart sometimes is broken. Yesterday we were here for a funeral. One of the dear brothers in our church passed away, Dan Davis. And the room was full of people. Some knew Dan and loved him. Some were believers. Some weren't believers. But one thing we all had in common, we all understood suffering. And Dan had suffered deeply in the last stages of his life. But he never complained. And the one thing he really wanted and was looking forward to was being released from this body of pain so he could be in the presence of God. He really understood that reality. He was looking for what was going to happen in the days ahead. And some people talked about their faith in Jesus Christ and were quite emotional about it and said that they don't understand how anybody can live without the Lord and how he's there to comfort and how he's there to alleviate suffering and how he's there to transform suffering and bring it actually into points of joy in our lives, and how he uses suffering to draw us closer to himself so that we might understand how much he loves us and how real he is and how much we need him. And so Paul was sharing here and teaching what it was like when they were living in a time of persecution. Christians were being martyred and thrown in jail just for doing what we're doing here today. And in many parts of the world today, people are actually still going through those kind of things. If you're a Christian in Iraq or Iran or the Mideast, and where it's primarily Islam, Christianity is not tolerated at all. And if you're caught worshiping the Lord or teaching the Bible, you can be thrown in jail and many times even martyred and killed for your faith. So he's speaking to people at this time that be encouraged that whatever you're going through right now in your life, no matter how challenging it might be or how difficult, or someone you love you see going through some trauma or difficulty and your heart's breaking for them, the gospel is the answer and the solution, isn't it, for what it is we go through. That the Lord has a plan to use the trials of life to bring us into a relationship with the Lord. You don't realize how much you need God until you're in a situation that you can't fix yourself. And so Paul is trying to encourage the people at the time, the audience similar to ours, but vastly different in what they were going through at that time, to persevere and to have an eternal perspective that the present situation isn't going to stay the same forever. Eventually, it'll change. And he said, what's going on right now isn't even close to being compared to what God has for us one day when we're with him in his presence. In 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read a verse there that really gives some insight into this issue of how short-lived some of these things are that we go through. This is again Paul. He says, therefore we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, you younger people in here, you read that and you think, what do you mean outward man perishing? I look great. I'm my best. Look at my beautiful black hair. And look at my complexion. And look at the nice creams I put on my face so I look beautiful. And you know, you can do that for a while, but eventually it doesn't matter how much cream you put on or whatever you try to do to your hair. When you're old, right? And you get old. All of us are getting old. But to be encouraged, even though this outward appearance, this outward man is beginning to be less stellar, the good news is that the inward man, and that's our soul and that's our heart, is being renewed day by day, isn't it? We have strength. We're being encouraged in the Lord. What really matters is our relationship with him and where we're going to be for all eternity. There won't be any more death or any more dying or anything like that. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what we have to focus on in order to get through suffering. And I try to do this, and people do this in my life as well. When I see someone suffering and going through a hard time, I want to be with them to encourage them that this isn't going to be the way it is forever, right? And even if it's a terminal situation, if they know the Lord, the good news is they're going to be with him in paradise in a matter of maybe moments or days. And so I love the fact that, you know, we come to church to hear about the things of God, but I'm given things from the Lord to help me deal with the things I have to face every day in my life that I don't know how to deal with unless I have the truth of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to get through certain situations and circumstances of life unless I cry out to God and say, Lord, I need your help. Show me how to get through this. Show me how to maneuver this. Give me peace. Take away my anxiety. Take away my fear. Take away whatever is in the way of me trusting you. And so this wonder of Jesus, he warns us and he tells us in John 16:33, in the world we'll have tribulation, meaning we will have trials. Trials of troubles and cares and worries and anxieties and fears and sufferings. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we can have this peace in the Lord. We can have courage. We can have victory. Because we understand that Christ Jesus is the one that gets us through all this stuff. His divine power in us to encounter the sufferings. His great peace in the times of being crushed. We overcome in and through Jesus Christ. So Paul is reminding the Roman believers that the best is yet to come. And I told the audience that yesterday when I started. I said, how many of you don't like going to church? And maybe this is the first time you've been in a church and you're not comfortable in a church. Is anybody like this here? And I asked them if they would stand up. Well, no one's going to admit that, right? But God bless one guy in the corner of her. He stood up. And as soon as he stood up, a bunch of other people stood up too. And I said, well, that's awesome. We want you guys to feel relaxed. Take some deep breaths. There's no agenda here. There's no pressure. You know, we don't have any plan here to mess with you, you know. Just enjoy this. And I'm glad you're here, you know. And it was ironic. At the end of the service, I'm going out the door there, and some woman comes up. You might not remember me. I'm Sally Stoker. And I was 7 or 8 years old on 8th Street in Irwin, working with her brother with a red wagon, collecting pop bottles where you get 2 cents a bottle, where you could go to the store and get candy. I mean, we did that every Saturday. We'd go around. Tom had more boldness than me. I'd make him go up and knock on the door, and I just pulled the wagon with the bottles. But, you know, you never know who God's going to bring in your life or who's going to show up or who's going to. And I said, boy, I hope you come back again. And she said she would like to, and I pray that she does. But this wonder that we have of this message, we have good news for people who have bad news. We have good news for people who are in crisis or who are struggling or who are opening their hearts up to you about something that they're going through. They're telling you what it is, not so you just feel bad for them, but you might tell them about how you get through, how you get beyond things that are overwhelming and difficult. And that's what's so awesome. We're not to worry. We're not to be overwhelmed because there's this future glory that's going to come to pass that you and I are all going to be able to be a part of. And the older you get, the more you are anticipating this in a positive way, because the best, as I said to people yesterday, is yet to come. He talks about this heaven that we're all going to have the opportunity, if we know Jesus, to to be in. Now, I hear like Chinese warplanes are heading toward Taiwan right now because they're concerned about U.S. involvement in Taiwan. We have Ukraine, which is ongoing, and we have Gaza and Israel, which is a powder keg. We have the Strait in the Red Sea that they're trying to block product from coming into the free world, which would be devastating if we don't get on top of that and keep that path open to get these ships through with what they're bringing to this side of the world. And when I look at that, I can think about it two ways. I can be like depressed, I can be overwhelmed, I can be like, oh, the world's falling apart, blah, blah, blah. But if you study world history, there's been times, hasn't there, of crisis and difficulty and trials and unbelievable situations, but they eventually passed by, didn't they, by the grace of God? He always has a plan. It's never quite the end until he says it's the end. So we pray. But as you think about, like, eventually this world will pass away, the good news is this is what Jesus has written through the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. That bums me a little bit because I love the sea. But there's going to be a water, living water. There's going to be lakes and streams, so I'm sure I'll adapt to that fine. But sometimes you read this stuff, you say, well, Lord, is it going to really be as good as I think it's going to be? It's going to even be better. It says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor enter into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Your eyes can't even begin to comprehend. Your ears, no one's ever told you unless you read it in the Word. How awesome what God is preparing for those who love him. He says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Nothing more beautiful than a wedding, right? When the bride's all fixed up and the gown and the wedding ceremony and just everybody stands and looks and mesmerized and look how beautiful. It doesn't even come close to what it's going to be like when the Lord brings down this holy city for us. And he says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. I mean, this is real. This is alive. This isn't mental, like, concept, but we'll actually encounter this experience with God. And it says, he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. The intimacy, the nearness, the closeness. And then I love this, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And why will we be crying? We'll be so full of joy and mind blown. And, oh, God, if I knew it was going to be this awesome, I would have, like, served you even more than I thought I was serving you while I was on the earth. Give me a chance to go back again, and it's all over because the new heaven and new earth are there. And I love what the Lord does. There's no condemnation or guilt trips with him. He lovingly takes us, wipes away the tears, and then he tells us that there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. It'll be all done. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The best is yet to come. And so this is us, the sons and daughters of God right now. And we're not exactly what we'd like to be yet. We're all works in process. You know, we still fail. We still sin. We still stumble, that kind of stuff. We're not as Christ-like many times as we know we'd like to be, but God's so patient. He gives us such grace, doesn't he? And, you know, as good as you would try to be on this side of heaven in regard to pleasing God, you could never be perfect on this side of heaven. But we're being perfected little by little, slowly, day by day. We're becoming a little bit more like Christ as we live our lives. In 1 John 3:2, it tells us, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." That we are called the children of God. What a privilege to be in His family. There was a time that you and I weren't in His family. I was a pagan. I had no interest in this stuff. This bored me. If I had a phone back in those days, I'd be playing solitaire while the pastor was preaching. It meant nothing to me. But then the Holy Spirit, only God the Holy Spirit can give us enlightenment and wake us up out of death to show us like how real He is and that we need a Savior. But He calls us children of God after the fact of us coming to realize, obviously, that we need Him and we're saved and we're born into His family. He says, you know, the world doesn't know Him, know us. They don't understand why we're wired the way we are. Why do we talk the way we do? Why do we act the way we do? It says, because it did not know Him. So when you're around people that don't know Jesus yet, cut them some slack. That's just the way you were at one time. Don't judge them. Don't criticize them. Don't put pressure on them. Pray for them. Try to live the faith before them. They're just acting normal, right? They're just being who they are, lost sinners. We're different because Christ is in us. It says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We will see the Lord as He is, and we will be just like Him. Can you imagine that? Becoming just like Jesus. No more sin, no more failing. No more humiliation or doubts or fears or anxieties or insecurities. We will see Him as He is and we will be like Him. And it says, "Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure." So as you go through the Word and as you're learning it and as you're studying it, something's happening internally in you and in me. I hear it, I process it, I think about it. And I want it to be real to me. I don't want this to be words. I want the Holy Spirit to change my life, as I know you do too. But not only does the human being encounter this groaning of this expectation of what God has ahead for those who know Him, but it says in 21, "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." It's hard to like conceive, but like all living matter, trees and birds and anything that God's created, fish and animals and dogs, somehow there's this sense of something internal that makes them realize that this isn't the way it was supposed to be when God created the heavens and the earth. When God created the heavens and the earth, He said it was good, right? It was never bad. It didn't become good until we messed it up. And it breaks God's heart every day to see what we've done to His creation and how we destroy it and how we're so careless with it and how we're just so self-centered. You know, I don't know if you noticed coming out of Greensburg from the car wash, they used to have all those nice trees on the hill there, right? They cut them all down. Well, now that they cut them all down, you wouldn't believe the debris that's on that hill of people just throwing stuff out of their car. I don't know who's going to climb that hill and get all that cleaned up. It's going to be quite a job. But I just think about how we destroy the sea and the oceans, the amount of plastic, it's in the water, and just the carelessness of passing down from generation to generation, our dismissive approach toward the world that we've been gifted with to live in and how we treat it, and what's it going to be like for our our own kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, and on down through the ages. But God looks at all this, and the world itself, the creation, and how he made it, is finite. This world is not eternal. The new heaven and the new earth will be eternal. So there's this atrophy that's occurring on the earth, in the human body, as well as in the creation. Things becoming extinct, or forests that are becoming destroyed. I read a commentary, and the guy said out in California, where they have all these beautiful sequoia redwood trees and all that, that someone went up there, I guess some company, and they just literally just chopped everything down without any real purpose. They got some wood that they, I guess, used and repurposed to make money on, but they said, you go up there now, you wouldn't believe the amount of trees that are just laying there rotting, and they destroyed the whole beauty of what that area of the mountains looked like at the time. And so this creation is groaning and looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth. And not only that, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, there's a sensitivity in us, in you and me, to know that this isn't the way it's supposed to be. It can actually become better. And I think as human beings on the planet right now, it's up to you and I to try to make things better every day so that people can have hope. Not be fatalistic or apathetic, but what can I do to make a difference while I'm here? There was a state cop here yesterday that spoke in the honor of Dan's life, and very authoritarian type. I thought he was a preacher at first. He had a nice suit on and all this. And I went up and talked to him later. I said, what did you do for a living? He says, I was a state cop. He said, as a matter of fact, I used to come into this place and bust people. I said, yeah, that's interesting. People tell me they used to come here and throw up because they had too much to drink. Now they're in here praising the Lord. Bobby Dales used to be here, right? But he read a book, something about Maury. I remember it being advertised years ago, and it was reviewing five lives of different time periods, and that how everybody's life had significance. There was no person that lived that didn't have some degree of significance. Their life meant something. And his message to us was, encourage us to make a difference in everybody's life, because your life, wherever it goes, it spreads over to someone else somehow, where you have a chance to impact them in a way that will bless their lives. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. And so Paul says, we have this Holy Spirit in us, and we're groaning. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get up in the morning, I'm walking down, I get my coffee, I'm like, groaning. Cindy, what's wrong? What's wrong? Nothing. I'm groaning. Because, you know, it's like, oh, man, sometimes it's just like really hard to get going, isn't it? Like, you just don't want to get going. You just don't want to do what you got to do. But God gives you the strength to do it. And he says, we eagerly await for this adoption and the redemption of our body, that the Lord's going to come back. The early church, and no matter how young or how old they were, they finished the end of Revelation, Maranatha. It meant, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's anticipation of things being under control of God once and for all. No Republican or no Democrat or no world leader is going to bring this world into peace and balance. Be assured of that. Only the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. So let's prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper as the worship team comes forward. Think about these things and read ahead and spend time.